T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Tony! Let's go!
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. I am back from vacation. I am glad to be back. There is a lot of stuff for us to discuss, and hopefully you will hang out and do the same. The phone number is 312-644-6767. You can also text the show. 67011 is the way that you can do that. You can hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at Lawrence W. Holmes is where you can find me. This hour of the show is being brought to you by Patrick Auto Group. And this segment is being brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. There is a ton of news to pass along and discuss for tonight. This coming out of Minnesota, the White Sox are doing that weird thing, makeup game because of the snow. They're playing in Minnesota tonight. Both teams are going to fly back here and play tomorrow for Kopech, his debut. But Rick Renteria is at the hospital in Minnesota because he felt lightheaded. He has apparently texted people at the White Sox saying that he feels fine. Hopefully he is fine and there's no problem. But I just wanted to update you on that. We are going to talk a lot of White Sox tonight. We'll talk about Kopech's debut a little bit later on in the show with Ryan McGuffey of the White Sox Talk podcast. We'll do that at 9 o'clock. He's also got a good special about Hawk coming out, and we'll talk to him about that. 8 o'clock, Greg Gabriel from our staff is going to join me. We need to talk about the Bears, like, in-depth-wise, and we're going to do that. 7:40, we'll get an update on the goings-on at Halas Hall because Leonard Floyd had surgery. And they're optimistic about him being available for game one, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be available and or effective in game one. We'll talk with Emma about that at 7:40. I would like to start the show talking about the Cubs, and I'd like to talk with you about them if you want. There's a couple things on my mind when it has to do with the Cubs. The most important from a news standpoint is what's going on with Yu Darvish. My vacation was a working vacation. As I joked, I was on the islands, Blue and Stony. That's where I was hanging out. I was in town like the whole time. So it gave me a chance to, without worrying about making sure I was back at the studio by 5:30 or whatever before the show, it gave me a chance to get out and do some stuff sports-wise. So I went out to Wrigley Field last week just because I like to do a little bit of recon. I feel it's important for me to show my face because you shouldn't throw stones and hide your hand. So I like to show my face at Cubs, White Sox, and Bears when I have the opportunity to get out of the studio. And sometimes I use days off to do that because no responsibility. Like, I don't have to report or anything. But of course, I end up going to Cubs the day of the Yu Darvish simulated game. And it was amazing, like, watching. I had never watched a sim game before. Like, I had seen it, but I had never sat down and watched it. And you're probably going, okay, well, what does that mean? Well, I'd like to share it with you, like, what goes on in a simulated game. It is what it seems like. So here's what they do. They get a couple of batters, usually a right-hander and a left-hander. In this case, it was the boat god, David Bodie, and Victor Caratini. So they had right and left-handed batters. and they treat it like it's a game. So Theo Epstein is standing there behind the home plate, like they have a cage. I mean, someone's catching, but they have a cage behind home plate. So his staff is there with him. Joe came out later on. It was one of those late day, like get to the clubhouse late type days. So Joe came out there a little bit later on, and they treat it like it's a game. So Darvish goes out there, does the routine, does the I'm getting ready to start a game, gets his warm-up tosses in, and then Bodie and Caratini step in and represent batters. Let's say Bodie hits one out of the ballpark, which he did. That counts as a home run. So you're down 1-0, and you still haven't gotten three outs. So they simulate it as if the game is going on. So if he gets a single, then Darvish goes into the stretch, and he pitches out of the stretch. They stay true to the simulation to the point of when Darvish gets done with the first inning, they bring him to the dugout, and he stays in or around the dugout for 3 or 4 minutes, or however long they think the bottom of an inning or the top bottom of an inning would last. And then he comes back out, and he does the same routine. Here's my 8 warm-up pitches, and I'm going to pitch. So I saw him pitch 55 or so pitches in front of Madden, in front of Theo. I didn't see Jed, but he was out there in front of the Cubs people. And, yeah, Bodie and Caratini got some good hacks off of him. But I thought that he had good life on his fastball. He had command of his breaking stuff. Had less command of the fastball. Had some command of his breaking stuff. And more importantly, he threw 55 pitches. So then we got the chance to talk with Theo about it. And he said, you know, we're feeling pretty positive about this. This is a step in the right direction. And we're ready to send him out on another rehab start. That leads us to yesterday. It felt like, oh, well, he's already thrown 55 pitches. He's going to go down to South Bend and dominate, and everything's going to be fine. And maybe you're thinking September 1 for Darvish to come back to the Cubs, join the rotation, build his arm up so that you would feel comfortable starting him in a playoff game if you needed to. I'll get to the playoffs in a minute, too. It didn't go well. He felt something. I'm wondering if there's a loose body in there, but I feel like the MRI would have shown that. But he says he's feeling something. And they can't seem to find it on any test. He can't quite explain what's going on. But at this point, like I've been telling you, since May, I don't even know if there's enough time now. If you were sitting there thinking, well, maybe they can get a playoff start out of Darvish, at this, how in the world, there's a couple things. One, you have an investment, and if you're still unsure that there's something wrong, and it's damn near September, then what would be the point of trying to push him to start for you when you know that you've got a lot of years and a lot of money left on that deal? Two, would you trust Darvish? And I'm not even talking about, well, people think he's not mentally tough enough in the playoffs or whatever, even though he did a decent enough job against the Cubs. I'm talking about you have a player that has pitched through a little bit of pain for the majority of the season. Are you going to hand him the ball in a playoff situation? I can't see any scenario where that even makes sense. Now, had you been sitting there with me at Wrigley Field, or we had talked after his simulated game last week, I said, okay, well, maybe there's a chance. He's already at 55 pitches. He doesn't seem to be feeling any pain. maybe this is all going to work out. He'll go to South Bend, then he'll go to Iowa or wherever, get a couple of starts in, boom, get some starts in September, you're good to go. I don't know if the Cubs are at a point where they have to start completely over. With Darvish, we have to do the same thing again. Shut him down for a few days, see if the inflammation goes down. Then play long toss. Then let's see if you can throw off a flat surface. Then can you throw off a mound? Then let's have a simulated game. Then let's go to South Bend and let's do a rehab start. Then let's go to Iowa. You're running out of days. You're running out of days where it even makes sense to do. Now, if you're the Cubs will say, well, you know what? We rolled the dice in a situation kind of like this before with Kyle Schwarber. We had a player work until he forced our hand to put him on the World Series roster. It turned up great. What did he hit? 412 in the World Series? Turned out great. But you knew what you were dealing with Schwarber. There had been a surgery. He had rehabilitated. You knew how he felt. Honestly, the Cubs still don't know what's happening with Darvish. And speaking of the playoffs, I was sitting in the press box with Bruce, and he asked me a really interesting question. And I'm going to have him on the show later, and I'm going to ask him that same question. Who are you more afraid of now? The Brewers or the Cardinals? If you listen to this show, you know that I have been advocating that St. Louis fire their idiot manager. They fired their idiot manager, and looky here. Now they're back in this thing. They're not just back in it for the wild card. They're back in it for the division. And I still think the Cubs are the most talented team of the three, even with no Darvish and kind of no Bryant. But do you have enough to just make it to the finish line? Are there two series in September with the Cardinals? Because I feel like there's a series. I think I have tickets to go see Cubs and Cardinals like on the 16th maybe. And then I feel like they end with the Cardinals at the end of the season.
Let's see. Yeah, they end with the Cardinals at the end of the season, and I'm not seeing another Cardinals series.
Okay, so it's just at the end of the season.
Yeah, they play a lot of Brewers games, though.
Still a lot of games with the Brewers. I feel like the Brewers missed their chance.
And don't forget those White Sox.
No. I feel like the Brewers missed their chance, and I went on Milwaukee. I talked to my guy Rami about this on 105.7 The Fan while I was on vacation. And I know that Machado hasn't been great for the Dodgers, but they should have made that move. Just like they should have made the move for pitching last year. There are going to be some sad people in Milwaukee if the Cubs and the Cardinals go to the playoffs this year. And they don't. Sad. The Cardinals were dead and buried. The Cubs were running on fumes. All you had to do was make a big boy move, Milwaukee. And what did you do? Nah, we got this. We're going to run Tyler Saladino out there as shortstop. We would have told you. Me, Tony, Herbie, we would have told you. That was not a great idea.
They got the Mexicutioner, though.
He doesn't like that name. That doesn't help them at shortstop, though. Where Manny Machado would have helped them at shortstop. Even though he's not as good of a shortstop as he is a third baseman. I think September is about to be real fun in the National League Central. What about you? 312-644-6767. You can text us at 670-11. Lake Zurich and Tom. Hey, Tom, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. Thank you for what you do.
Thanks.
There's zero, less than zero chance now that Darvish would pitch a playoff game. There's no time to build the arm back up. The best you could hope for would be an insurance policy for Mora coming out of the bullpen, and that would be the best.
But wait, Tom, it's so funny that you brought that up, because me, Tony, and Herb were talking about this. Like, put yourself in that scenario. Like, it's game five of a series, and you're like, you know who we should go to? Yu Darvish here. I feel like that's not a great idea.
No. Well, I mean, you could go back to why they even make the deal. Texas, the Dodgers, the guy's soft, not just physically, but mentally. He always chokes in big games and big situations. I don't know why they signed him. The only saving grace was Cole Hamels. You can kind of get away with a four-man rotation in the playoffs, and Montgomery's there, you know, needed him.
Well, Montgomery's on the – Montgomery's not there anymore.
That man say he chokes in the big situations.
Well, unless you're talking about him versus the Cubs last year. I mean, there's that whole thing. Darvish's numbers in the postseason. He's played five series, pitched in five series, an ERA around six in six games with 25 strikeouts, only four walks. That's really good. But he did get hit. He pitched really well in the wild card game. He's pitched pretty well in the division series. And he's pitched pretty well in National League championships. He blew up in the World Series and it was bad. And he blew up in the ALDS. Those two performances versus the other four, he's been more good than he has been bad. Or three performances versus four. Three performances versus three. He's been more good than bad. I don't think that it's fair to say that the guy is mentally soft. I think that we don't know what's going on. It's not like he is refusing this stuff. I was watching him compete last week. He wasn't just out there going through the motions. Like, he was competing. At some point, though, we need to be okay with guys advocating for themselves physically. If a guy keeps telling you something's not right, you should probably be more inclined to believe him than not believe him. If something was going on with you and you kept telling your doctor something's not right, you would want your doctor to believe you.
So, need more people.
Say that?
We need more people.
All right, Jay-Z. We don't believe you. You need more people. Let's go out to Alex, who's calling from Detroit. Hey, Alex, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, welcome back from vacation. Hope it went well.
It did. It really did.
Glad to hear it. I just want to give my two cents on Darvish real quick. Two things. Number one, the whole Jake Arrieta versus Darvish issue is, I think, another topic completely. But I wish that they would have kept Arrieta. I'll leave it at that. As far as the current day Darvish, though, here's a guy that had Tommy John surgery a few years ago in Texas. When he pitched, was amazing. But I don't know how you can trust a guy like that to anchor or be a number two or three on a solid competitive playoff rotation. I agree with you 100%. You couldn't trust him in the playoffs.
I'm not saying you can't trust him ever. You cannot trust him this year. You can't. You can't give that roster spot away. Look at all the other stuff, all the baggage that the Cubs are carrying. That roster spot is valuable. And maybe that roster spot is Quintana versus Darvish. Maybe Quintana becomes your designated long man or a lefty specialist guy in the playoffs. Because I think that he has to fight his way back into the playoff rotation right now. But you're pushing Mike Montgomery to places where he's never been before as a starter, even though he threw a ton of innings last year. You could see it coming that the fatigue was going to happen with Mike Montgomery. especially when they basically told him, you're a bullpen dude, you're not a starter. And then he ends up having to start. Maybe this DL stint is maintenance. And he just needed a couple turns off. And he'll be fine and ready to go. Who knows? But my goodness, it is now fun in the National League Central. If I were a betting man, and I'm not, I leave the betting to Joe Ostrowski. You should check out his Early Odds podcast, by the way. It's really good if you're a bettor. If I were a betting man, I'd bet the Cubs to win the division. But there's significant problems with this team. Now, you know me. In my mind, Yu Darvish has not been on this roster since June. I think it is admirable that both he and the Cubs wanted to find a way that he could pitch, but it feels like it's diminishing returns now for this year. Sit him down, figure out what's going on. Maybe something has to happen in the offseason. I don't know. And start over fresh. The rest of the guys have to go out and try to win a World Series. And Darvish's best help to his teammates would be sitting there and helping them dissect what's going on with batters. So like I said, if you'd like to talk Cubs with me, 312-644-6767 is the number. Got a few more minutes to do that. We're going to talk Bears with Chris Emma at 740. So Cubs conversation right now with you. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and you're listening to The Score.
Last pitch, 95, leaves and comes back out, warms up. That's the only thing I know so far. And then he called our trainer on, that was it. I don't have any further reports at this time.
That's Joe Maddon talking about him getting the news from South Bend that Darvish, after 19 pitches in one inning, is like, I'm feeling that same thing I felt before. We need to stop instead of pitching through it, which is what he did the last time. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock tonight, and we have a lot of Bears coverage coming up on the show. We're going to talk with Chris Emma at 7:40, so make sure you stick around for that. Bears got some injuries they need to worry about as well. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single-game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. You can call the show at 312-644-6767 as we talk Cubs and Yu Darvish. You can also text the show at 670-11. Someone text the show and made Herb Lawrence very angry. What text has you angry, Herbie?
And then there's a lot of calls, too, because there's a guy who texted in, what's up with Drew Smyly?
Yeah.
Not a GD thing.
Yeah.
The only person that should be worried about Drew Smyly is his mama and his daddy. He hasn't pitched since September 26, 2016. We're good.
Yeah. Thinking that Drew Smyly is going to come and save you is... I don't know why people keep going back to that.
I was cutting up tape one day, like a month ago, and they're like, yeah, what do you hear about Drew Smyly? I'm like, what is a Drew Smyly?
Yeah. It's... Yeah. It's not... I wouldn't be holding out hope on the Drew Smyly tip. If I were you. 229 text says, I fear St. Louis more than Milwaukee. The Cardinals have fresh young arms leading them. And an MVP in Matt Carpenter. And they got rid of their idiot manager. See, for those people, look, Herbie is one of them. He feels like managers don't matter. My philosophy on managing is there's like six guys that are great at it. Joe Maddon, I think, is one of them. Then there's a pile of, 20 guys that are about the same. And then there's two or three guys that aren't very good at all and cost you games. Mike Matheny was one of the dudes at the bottom of the pile that cost you games. The Cardinals brought in a replacement-level manager, and they're in the National League Central race. That guy was a detriment to them winning. I stand by it. I guarantee it. Let's go to Highland Park and talk with Brad. Hey, Brad, you're on the Score.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm in the minority. I think Darvish is going to be great. I think I know it's very frustrating. It's easy to give up on him, but nobody knows, you know, he's hurt. He doesn't know where he's hurt or how he's hurt, and so we can't possibly know, but something's not right with the guy. And if we get him back, he'll be more rested. He'll be a stud pitcher. Look at Verlander last year. The first half of the year, he was awful. And then he was great in the playoffs and the World Series. And this year he's been great.
I think that's a bad comp. Verlander wasn't hurt. And I don't think he's had Tommy John surgery either. I'm not saying that he won't be great. I think that his career statistics would tell you that he'll probably be better than average if he's healthy. The biggest problem is that he doesn't think he's healthy. So until that gets remedied, nothing else matters. Lauren Hill. One person got that. Crown Point and Blaine. Hello, Blaine. You're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence. Good to have you back. So with Darvish, even if we were at a point in the season where we had enough time for him to start this whole rehab process over again, I don't even see the point because this is now the second failed rehab assignment. So you start him over, what makes you think that doing the same exact thing, he's not going to feel that pain a third time?
Well, that's the issue, Blaine. It's like until they figure out where that pain is coming from and how to make it stop, I'm not sure that it even makes sense to do this again.
Exactly, and that's why I'm really interested to hear what the results of the MRI were today. If they did find any sort of tear or, you know, loose bodies or whatever. But either way, I feel like he's going to have some kind of surgery before he'll ever see a mound again. And he also has a ton of innings on his arm, given the career that he had in Japan before coming to the States. And, you know, last season he talked a little bit about retirement, and I kind of wonder if that'll be a legit question for him, you know, with all the injuries that he, or the innings that he's had on his arm and not really knowing what's going on and the way he already thinks that Chicago fans hate him, you know, I just don't see this ending well. And I wonder if he'll ever pitch on an MLB mound again.
All right. I appreciate the phone call. I don't know if I share your level of fatalism with this. I think that it might work the opposite way, that Darvish feels like he has something to prove and that he finds himself back in it. But I don't think that it's crazy to imagine there be some sort of exploratory or debridement or something going on with his arm, with his elbow. Hopefully it's not Tommy John surgery. That would be bad. Let's go to Burbank and talk with Jose. Hey, Jose, you're on the Score.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I just wanted to comment on the Cubs. I feel like they're just a team who's gotten very comfortable with who they are, and they feel like they can turn it on whenever they need to. I would say a team like, I know it's not the NBA, it's not the same, but a team like Miami, they were just getting by during the season, and then in the playoffs, they would turn it on.
Well, hold on, Jose. What – I need to know your proof of them being too comfortable.
Well, they seem to play to their level of competition. They play a team like the Pirates, teams you would expect them to win 3 out of 4, and then they lose 2. Team like the Padres, where, you know, they obviously got outplayed in that series. They just seem to play to their level of competition. That's just how I feel about
them. They still have the best record in the National League.
Yes, they do. They do.
Chris Bryant for 7 weeks.
One, that's with everybody still having, you know, everybody, even with that, everyone's still talking, having doubts, not sure. I just feel like.
Ooh.
I mean, you're kind of saying it right now. You're not sure how.
I'm not on the team. I'm not on the team.
No, I mean.
You're making a broad accusation about the team, and I'm trying to figure out why you're making that accusation.
Well, I mean, that's just how I feel about the team, and I mean, I feel like going back to last year with the Nationals, not people weren't too sure if the Cubs can get past that series. And then it felt like when they won, they surprised people. Like it was more of a surprise instead of expected.
Did you expect them to win last year?
I did. It's just I felt like as a whole.
Who's this whole that you're talking about?
Just, you know, friends, people in general.
Your friends suck, Jose. They're terrible. If you think the guys aren't putting out effort, that to me is unfair. Now, sometimes they're doing it. Addison Russell's base running is driving me insane. He keeps talking about it being about aggression. You can't get, he got picked off. Was it Cole Hamels' first start? He got picked off in a crucial situation or ran into an out. That's what it was. He ran into what would have been the.
He would have been the tying run.
He would have been the tying run at third with nobody out. Trying to stretch a double into a triple. And then yesterday he gets picked off a third. That bleep can't keep happening. But it's not because he's not trying. He's probably trying a little too hard. Javier Baez is out there busting his ass, playing, doing whatever he can. He's probably played too much because they've had to pick up slack. Earlier, it was because Rizzo wasn't hitting and Bryant wasn't there. Then Rizzo starts hitting. Bryant goes back on the disabled list. They've got to move the pieces around the chessboard. I think that the criticism that the Cubs lack are comfortable. I've been in that clubhouse over the last couple of weeks. I wouldn't describe it as comfortable. They know they're in a race, whether it's with the Brewers or with the Cardinals. And they know that they got issues. They got more issues than the Sun Times. That was a comment. Never mind. But they know that they have a lot of issues and they're trying to fight through them. I give them credit for that. This super talented team has also been scrappy, and they deserve some credit for that. We'll talk about the Bears with Chris Emma coming up next here on The Score.
I don't think it's going to be healed. I think he's going to have to end up playing through it. You know, it might require something in regards to, you know, having a cast or a club type deal. And, you know, there's been evidence of guys, you know, that have had that and been productive. So that's what we're hoping right now.
Leonard Floyd is hurt. He had surgery. He's going to have a cast or a club or something. And it puts him being ready for the start of the season in jeopardy, which I felt like the Bears were a little light on pass rushers to begin with. Hopefully it's not a big deal. We shall see. Chris Emma covers the Bears. He was at Halas Hall today. I'm Lawrence, by the way. I'm back! Kind of, because tomorrow we've got an Eastern time zone game and another one Wednesday. And then Thursday I'm doing Cubs pre. But whatever. I'm off vacation. And I'm back ready to talk about the Bears with Chris Emma. He joins me now here on The Score. What's up, Emma?
Lawrence, what's up, buddy?
Well, let's talk about Leonard Floyd. What do you know? What did you hear?
So what we learned is the worst-case scenario for this Bears outside linebacker group, and obviously it's not the worst-case scenario for Leonard Floyd. I mean, there's a likelihood that he can and will be on the field for week one, but to what extent and how effective will he be is the question now. Matt Nagy confirmed it is a fracture in his hand between his middle finger and index finger. It occurred on a play where he was cut by Garrett Bowles, the former first-round pick of the Broncos, on their offensive line. He went down trying to brace his fall on the ground, and it was just an unfortunate play that really exposed the Bears' lack of depth at the outside linebacker position. So Matt Nagy told us today that it is something that he can be out there on the field for. Their goal is week one, and they're optimistic for that, but he also said he's not going to be 100% and that thing's not going to be healed. So what does that mean? It's a player who has been striving to become a more consistent all-around pass rusher with his hand technique, is now going to have a hand limited to a club. That's bad news. I mean, you're not going to have the Leonard Floyd you hope to see out there. It might be the big body and the guy that, you know, it's maybe better than the alternative, but it's not going to be the Leonard Floyd you see healthy.
Yeah, I'm watching him in preseason. I've been impressed with his improvement on his swim technique. And now I wonder how much that's going to be affected if he's out there playing in a cast.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. You've seen the effectiveness of Floyd as a pass rusher. And it's not just about bursting through the edge with the kind of speed that he has and what made him, you know, a threat as a rookie. This is a different Leonard Floyd now. His coaches have said it all down the line, from Matt Nagy to Vic Fangio to Brandon Staley, the outside linebackers coach. They see the growth in this kid, and it's got a few different elements to it, the biggest of which is the hand technique and the ability, as you said, the squint moves, the ability to run through a tackle with a quick little move that gets right by. I mean, he's been able to improve himself as a rusher by use of the hands. And there's other things, too, that can help him if he does have a club. I mean, they've improved that get-off ability where he can be more powerful and more explosive off the snap. Little things like that where you're talking about a guy who's, you know, a speed rusher and limited to that to now becoming an all-round dominant edge rusher. And Ryan Pace said at the beginning of training camp, their hope is that if he was healthy, that the production would show and that would solve the problems of the outside linebacker position, which obviously is lacking in depth. Well, now you just wonder how effective he's going to be. And it's not just the fact that he's going to be limited with his hand, but he's going to be limited now in reps leading up to this game. I mean, he's not going to be on the field this week. He's probably not going to be on the field at all next week. So then you're targeting that week one lead up to Green Bay. I mean, he's going to probably be limited in work all that week, too. There's a lot of different elements as to why this is very problematic for the Bears. And right now you're kind of looking at what else is there on the depth chart. I mean, you got guys like Sam Acho and Kasim Adebale, and you got Kylie Fitz, the rookie out of Utah. Isaiah Irving has shown the flashes. But Aaron Lynch, I mean, you want to see that guy get back in the field and help solve this problem.
We're talking with Chris Emma, who covers the Bears for us here at The Score. This segment is being brought to you by Subway. Check out three signature wrap flavors to savor at Subway restaurants. Try the classic style of the turkey Italiano melt. Get yourself some bold taste with the Chipotle Southwest steak and cheese, or enjoy the tangy flavor of the buffalo chicken wrap. Subway, make it what you want. Limited time only at participating location. Of the guys that you brought up in pass rush situations, obviously Akeem Hicks in the middle of that line is doing the job at getting after the quarterback. But who all on the outside has impressed you the most so far in training camp?
You're talking about outside linebacker there?
Yeah, whatever they're going to call their rush specialists.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Kylie Fitz is the guy who's shown out so far, and Kasim Adebale, who's a veteran of 4 years in the NFL. I mean, focusing on Fitz here, he's a player who came into that Utah program with a ton of potential. I mean, he was a big-time recruit, and he had four different injuries over three seasons that really limited his effectiveness and dropped into the sixth round. The Bears saw him as a potential, you know, breakout player and somebody that could be a steal of that value. And he's impressed the Bears coaches. He was injured early in camp, a little bit of a shoulder ailment, came back strong, and he's shown the flashes that you want to see. At the same time, you've seen him, if you watch closely enough, get manhandled a few times. So it's nice to see the flashes and the ability to get after the quarterback, and I believe he can do that. But now it's about developing those NFL tools, like we were talking about with Leonard Floyd, where Fitz can be an effective and consistent pass rusher. So that's somebody you look to. Obviously, you feel good if Sam Acho is on the field, and he's probably going to be starting now week one, whether it's in the place of Leonard Floyd or Aaron Lynch, or I'd imagine more likely starting in place of Lynch than it is Floyd. But
yeah, but I mean, and look, I love Sam. I think Sam's a really solid linebacker, but no one would ever say that getting to the quarterback is his forte.
Exactly, and that's the thing right now, is this defense without Leonard Floyd is going to be lacking that guy that can get to Aaron Rodgers week one. I mean, you're hoping that Leonard Floyd can A, be on the field, and B, find a way to be effective enough out there, because Aaron Lynch was the guy who was supposed to be that other edge rusher, that other dynamic pass rusher to get after the quarterback. I know it's uninspiring, but this is the reality of the Bears offseason. So without that, I mean, maybe you're hoping Isaiah Irving can take that step forward that, you know, after showing flashes last year, but, you know, it's a harsh situation the Bears are facing right now, and they got to really explore that position these next 2 weeks.
Do you think that we could see them maybe look around for a street veteran or someone on someone else's roster?
Probably, yeah. I'd imagine they'll be doing that, especially after finding out the diagnosis on Floyd. I mean, you know, Lamar Houston was effective after coming back with the Bears last year for, you know, a second stint. Maybe Ryan Pace still has his phone number handy, and that's somebody he can bring out. But I don't know who they would look to, you know, off the top of Ryan Pace's mind. But they need to find somebody who can be an effective pass rusher, especially when you're facing a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers.
How's Adam Shaheen?
So that's a different situation. It's a sprain. They're still evaluating. We'll know more tomorrow when Matt Nagy speaks to us after practice.
It looked pretty serious, Emma. I mean, a guy has to leave on a cart on a game. It didn't look like – that was so awkward the way that he landed after that hit.
Yeah, I mean, you were fearing the worst. I kind of thought it could be the worst situation there. You saw the way that ankle bent, and then naturally, you know, the presumption there with the cart. You start thinking about bad things for this kid, but I think it was more of a precautionary measure in case there was some kind of fracture. You didn't want to exasperate it. The x-rays are fine. They're doing more exploring as to the extent of this sprain. I think the Bears feel like they caught a break, and given the weight of how ugly that thing looked, like he might be okay. You know, I obviously week one's obviously that's going to be a question. I mean, you look maybe toward week two, but they invested heavily in the tight end position, so it's not nearly the dire situation it is an outside linebacker now.
Okay, well, it's just something I was wondering and seeing what happened with him. What's been the reaction from the locker room when it comes to the helmet rule?
Yeah, they're adjusting. I mean, you know, they've been the Bears were one of the first teams to really kind of dig into this because they met with the officiating crew a week before anybody else did at Bourbonnais or at any of the other training camp sites, a week with their game in Canton being a week early. So they were on the front of this. They've been paying attention to it. But now you're seeing the extent at which they're going to be calling this penalty. I think the greatest atrocity to it really was in that game in Minnesota on Saturday, a few hours before the Bears played. A sack that was a clean football hit, they called the leading with the helmet rule. So,
yeah, it was exactly the way that you people say that you should tackle in the NFL. The guy was leading with his shoulder pad, and they end up calling he was leading with his helmet. Like, it's a ridiculous – like, the implementation of that rule has been awful.
It's been bad so far. Now, I'll preface that. It's so far. It's the preseason. So I do believe what Terry McCauley, the ex-NFL official, said during that Hall of Fame game, which is that they're going to enforce this heavily. And Walt Coleman, the official of that Hall of Fame game, who met with us reporters at training camp about a month ago, kind of suggested the same thing, that they'd be really evaluating this carefully because they're learning. I mean, he kind of joked it's one thing where anybody in a bar could see at full speed that they missed the call, but it's tough to evaluate at full speed when you're out there. I mean, the slow motion element's one thing, or even just having a good view on TV, that's better than the angle the official has. So it's going to be a work in progress, and I believe they are working on the kinks through this preseason time. That said, I think they're going to be calling it a lot less once you get into the regular season and especially into the postseason. But it's also something that's going to be missed. I mean, we've seen it pretty clearly so far. That Kyle Fuller tackle on Saturday night where Andy Janovich, the Broncos fullback, led with his head, and there goes Fuller, and he's got the shoulder down, and he's flagged for it. There's going to be mistakes. I believe that the quantity is going to decrease as we get into the important games, but I believe that the error is still going to be there, and that's troublesome for the NFL.
I thought the flag on the Shaheen hit was bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been – you can watch any of these preseason games, and there's examples of this being misused. It's a good thing to have in place. Anything in the name of player safety and help these guys out is good for the league and good for football as a whole. But you just worry about how they're going to enforce it and how it's going to be costly, whether it's for a series or a game or the standings or even once you get into the postseason. I mean, it's going to be a risky business here.
How do you call yourself a football writer and a sports writer and you're not at the Pearl Jam concert?
You know, I'm not a grizzled enough veteran, I guess, but I was out there on a Friday night and I got to hear the practice runs for Eddie Vedder. So I got a little dose of it now. I think I got to get into my mid-30s or so before I really establish myself as that Pearl Jam nut.
All right. I actually think that you probably got it right. Thanks, Emma. We appreciate it. That's Chris Emma, who covers the Bears. I do feel bad. I just saw Cheryl Scott on Twitter say that there's going to be a delay at that Pearl Jam concert because storms are coming through. So I guess all those guys will have to wait. It's weird. It's like young sports writers are all about Pearl Jam and old sports writers are all about Bruce Springsteen. Like that seems to be the demarcation line. Like, all the sports people that I know are out there.
Is Eli there?
Probably. But he's, I mean, he's real young. That'd be like you being out there. Well, probably not like you. Do you even know a Pearl Jam song, Tony? So the answer is no. You never heard Jeremy?
No.
Oh, boy. That is...
The one song Mark Grody likes.
He likes all of the songs.
No, it's like his song, though.
It's a shame as a black man that he doesn't know a Pearl Jam song.
I will say that it does tend to lean more white than anything else. But shout out to my girl, Kat Garcia. She's representing for black and brown out there.
I wish Tony was a better man.
You, sir, are the worst. Does he even know that sad-ass Cubs song that Eddie Vedder sings? The Cubs are going to win someday. Do you know that one?
I was going to guess Go Cubs Go.
That's not his song.
Both terrible.
It is weird that they sing the song after the game because it's...
And you can hear that game on WGN.
Well, you can see it now, but you can't.
Sometimes you can't.
But that's true. A lot of times you can't.
Steve Goodman always lying to you. Behind the grave.
Here's what I will tell you. Since I'll be working for WGN tomorrow, you know where you can see Michael Kopech pitch? On WGN.
Exclusively.
Good old number 9 tomorrow. You can see me in a suit tomorrow morning.
You and...
Me, Robin, I think Larry's back tomorrow.
Not getting ditched by
Dan Ponce? Yeah. What's up with that?
Phil wouldn't do that.
Phil, and neither. I worked with Anthony. Anthony didn't do me like that. Dan Ponce ain't going to get up and leave while I'm doing sports. I'm glad Robin called him out on it. Honestly. He's going to leave an empty chair. We come back for a 4-shot. You in the bathroom. We're going to talk more Bears. I want to get into some specifics about scouting some of these guys. And I want to talk the helmet rule with a guy who I'm sure has some thoughts on it. Greg Gabriel joins me next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.